the cremation of Duryodhana on the funeral pyre. The three, Ashwatthama, Drona's son, Kripa, brother-in-law to Drona, and Kritavarman, rode off, congratulating themselves and delighted at the massacre they had perpetrated against the not only the remaining forces and the allied forces of the Pandavas, but the five sons of Draupadi. You may remember that Krishna had advised the Pandavas that they should actually sleep at the old encampment of the Kauravas. It was the thing to do, and this they had done. But early in the morning, the charioteer of Drishtadyumna, the commander-in-chief, the Panchala prince, came to Yudhishthira and told him of the massacre. What had happened was that he reckoned he was the only one who had actually escaped. And he did so purely in that the attention of Kritavarman, who was killing off the people who were trying to escape from the encampment, was diverted, and he managed to slip by. Having told Yudhishthira of the tragedy, particularly of the death of the five sons, Yudhishthira let out an enormous cry and fell to the floor, nearly fell to the floor. Luckily, Satakhi was nearby him, his brothers nearby him, and held him up. And of course, he was absolutely distraught at the news. He said that having won the battle, we've actually lost. The losers are the victors. And also he was very concerned for Draupadi, because you see, she had lost not only her father and her brothers, but also all five sons who'd been beheaded. Shortly, Draupadi actually arrived with Nakula, and she was trembling all over. And when she came in, when she saw the five headless bodies of her sons, she collapsed. Bhima went down, he picked her up, he held her tightly. And when she came round to herself, she said, in a sarcastic way to Yudhishthira, by good luck, by good fortune, you now control the world. You are the world leader, and I hope you will enjoy it, but without your sons, without all the dear ones that you love. And she said her grief was like actually being in the middle of a fire. And she said, if this wretch isn't killed, I will sit down and I will commit prayer, P-R-A-Y, prayer, which is a sort of self-death for starvation. And when she'd finished that, she turned to Bhima. She said, Bhima, you've been my saviour. You've always looked after me. Kill this wretch and bring his body to me, or words to that effect. Bhima immediately called on Nakula and asked Nakula to be his charioteer. And he prepared his chariot, big, enormous, great, big gold-plated chariot with four very fast horses. And they were off. Just a little earlier, she'd been talking about a gem that Ashwatthama had been born with. It was a protective gem. It protected him from illness, it protected him from battle, and so forth. She said, if you bring me that gem when he's been killed, then I will endure to live. I will continue living. As Bhima rushed off with Nakula, Krishna went over to Yudhishthira and said, Bhima is in extreme danger, because Ashwatthama has the Brahma Sera. That's in the family of the Brahma Astras, the Brahma celestial weaponry. And it's the most powerful one. Remember, in fact, it's the one we've been talking about earlier, the Shiva weapon that he used in fighting the demons. We come across quite often in the Mahabharata the Brahmastra. This really is a military field weapon, very powerful. It was used actually by Lord Rama against Ravana in the Ramayana, where it's a bit like a machine gun in some ways. It's let off and it fires, instead of bullets, it fires arrows in all directions. But the Brahmasera is four times as powerful as that. It's a weapon actually for dealing with nations, not with armies. It should never be used on individuals. Drona actually obtained the Brahmasera by austerities, and eventually Shiva gave it to him, and he actually gave the weapon to and its mantra to make it going to Arjuna. And Ashwatthama, knowing this, nagged him and begged him, and Drona eventually gave him the mantra for it as well. But he knew, as they put in the Mahabharata, they knew he was restless. He wasn't a trustworthy person. He hadn't got the moral fibre and the makeup to control his emotions enough that was badly needed when you had a weapon of this power. So he was given the weapon by Drona, but told told that under no circumstances should he in fact use it against human beings. But he had this weapon, and this is what Krishna was fearful of. So quickly he yoked up his chariot. He said that Yudhishthira and Arjuna should come with him. He put up his banner and so forth. And he knew they could see by tracks pretty well where Bhima had gone. And Bhima had a pretty good idea where Ashwatthama was. Anyway, it wasn't too long before they caught up with Bhima. But Bhima wouldn't stop. He kept going at this breathtaking pace. In fact, you know, it's a bit like in the... After Drona had been killed on the 15th day, Ashwatthama was furious that he'd been killed in a foul way, by his standards anyway, and he had this Narayana weapon. It's a weapon of Krishna. You know, Krishna's old name for years past was Narayana. It was a Narayana weapon, and it was a weapon that in fact could annihilate anyone who was holding weaponry in an aggressive way at the time. Krishna knew the antidote of it very well. You had to lie down on the ground, you had to completely devoid, get rid of your weapons and not have contact with them, and then the weapon would just go over you and avoid you. But Bhima wouldn't have it. He was fought it. He said, I can deal with this. And he was struggling on his chariot, dealing with all the missiles and things that the weapon were throwing at him. And Krishna and Arjuna had to rush up to him and actually pull him off his chariot and hold him on the ground until the Narayana had been actually dealt with. And it was this fact that the Pandavas, Krishna and the Pandavas, had defeated this weapon that totally demoralized Ashwatthama. He realized at that stage he wasn't going to win it. When he came off the field of battle, he met Vyasa, the sage Vyasa, and he said, you know, how did this happen? How did it, this weapon didn't work? And Vyasa said, well, it will never work. This war will not be won by you. The two chariots, Bhima and Krishna, were racing along by the side of the Ganges, and soon they espied the ashram of Vyasa, Vyasa ashram, and they could see Vyasa with a number of rishis there. Narada was there, and amongst those sitting around rishis was Ashwatthama. He was dusty, he changed his clothing, he was in deer skins, and quickly Bhima jumped down and started rushing towards him. And Krishna yelled out, stop, stop! And luckily he did. Ashwatthama, as soon as he saw Bhima, in panic, he turned round and he grabbed a piece of grass, as a medium for launching the Brahmasira. And he launched the Brahmasira by saying the mantra. And within the mantra, after the mantra, he said, for killing the Pandava brothers. And he launched it. An enormous fireball quickly enveloped the reed and shot up into the air. And it was had enormous power, enormous force to it. And meteors began to fall, thunder could be seen, the skies darkened, winds came about, and the whole earth, a bit like an earthquake, the whole earth began to move and the distant hills began to move. It was really quite frightening. Krishna, seeing this, said immediately to Arjuna, Arjuna, release the weapon and neutralize Ashwatthama's. Arjuna got down with his bow. He put the arrow on the bow as a medium of launching the weapon. He chanted the mantra and he said, for neutralizing the weapon from Ashwatthama and not for killing Ashwatthama, quite specifically. Up went the enormous fireball, and there the two were hovering together. When the great seers Vyasa and Narada saw this, they were very concerned. They came actually between the two. They came between Arjuna and they came between Ashwatthama. And Vyasa said to Arjuna, why have you done this? Why have you let this world-destroying weapon off? And Vyasa and Arjuna explained that he let it off to neutralize and stop the evolvement of Ashwatthama's weapon. Vyasa immediately said to Arjuna, withdraw the weapon. And Arjuna said, I can withdraw it. And with this weapon, you had to have a certain purity. You had to be a celibate. Obviously, Arjuna wasn't a celibate because he's a householder. But having gone through that stage, he had the moral makeup, he had the purity within himself to withdraw it. Ashwatthama hadn't. And Arjuna knew this. And Arjuna said, Vyasa, I will withdraw it, but we're still the problem of Ashwatthama's weapon up there. which he can't withdraw. In effect, he said to Vyasa, you're the only ones who can really sort this out because of the imbalance and the setup, how it had evolved. And as Ashwatthama's weapon was still hovering there, it would kill all of them. So in other words, he said, really, you need to sort it out. So they actually came between and they held the power of Ashwatthama's weapon. Ashwatthaman said to Vyasa, he said that I don't have the capacity. He said, I'm not able to withdraw my weapon, but once my weapon has been released, it has to be satisfied. And what I'm going to do is to divert the energies of the weapon towards the wombs of the Pandava women. In other words, he knew that Uttara, the young wife of Abhimanyu, in other words, the daughter-in-law of Arjuna, was pregnant. And the little baby inside her womb would be the next king of the Kuru kingdom. It would continue the line of governance and existence of the Kuru kingdom. So by killing off that little baby, Ashwatthama would successfully break the line and break, in fact, the whole ruling of the empire. Well, I'm very sorry, my time is an end, but we'll see how things go next time. Thanks very much for listening.